Well, Ruben Amorim has been sacked by Manchester United after 14 months in charge of the club. In a statement, the club said the decision had been made reluctantly and it is the right time to make a change. For more on this now, we're joined by Ken Early from Second Captains Podcast and the Irish Times. Ken, was this expected?
Yeah, I think it was actually at this point. It had... The situation had obviously been approaching some kind of crisis from the way that Ruben Amorim had started to talk in public, alluding to conflicts behind the scenes. And that kind of really spilled out yesterday after they drew at Leeds United. He came out with this, "I came here to be the manager, not the head coach," when everybody knew that, in fact, he was appointed as the head coach. And it seemed to be sort of challenging his bosses at the club. And when that happens, there's usually only one outcome.
Well, for people who are not into this, you've kind of gone through the issues. But where was the biggest tension?
Well, the biggest tension is that his record as Manchester United manager, or head coach, I should probably more accurately say, has really been terrible.
It's the record, really, isn't it?
Yeah, the results have been terrible, but you could make an argument that actually they're better at this point than they've been in a long time. I mean, or that they were moving at least in the right direction. But, you know, he had lost a lot of the... When he was appointed, there was a lot of excitement. This guy's going to be great. You know, he's going to bring back the good times. And then it just sort of fell flat on its face for months and months and months. And so people kind of lose confidence. But the big issue that I think is happening is one that you're beginning to see it a lot of clubs now, and in fact happened last week just at Chelsea, who also their manager left after falling out with the hierarchy. And the problem is basically that a lot of the work, I keep calling them managers, but actually they're not managers, and this is actually the problem. We have this idea of these people as being the ones that are running the club, sort of making the decisions. They are the public face of the club. They're the publicly accountable face of the club. They do all of the talking to the media and so on. But in fact, they don't really have the power to control the situation at the club as they would like.
So they're not like managers of old, really, are they?
No, this is the whole thing. A manager of old was in charge of, you know, who were going to buy. It was the manager who was deciding who's to buy. The manager had kind of control over the money side of things. The manager had control, obviously, over who was going to leave. I mean, he could kick people out. He could sell people he wanted. Mm. And now what you've got is lots and lots of executives who have their own sort of ideas and their own agendas. The manager or the coach, I have to keep correcting myself, the coach doesn't have the authority to get rid of players he doesn't want and to bring in the players that he does want. And this puts them, I think, in a difficult position.
But look at it, in his case, had he lost the dressing room and then the fans, had they still faith in him?
Some of them, yes. Some of them had lost faith in him a long time ago. I don't think many of the Manchester United fans are going to be too upset about this, because I think there was a kind of an acceptance. This isn't really working, you know. And you might as well roll the dice as to stick with this thing. The surprising thing, I suppose, is that the sort of hierarchy at Manchester United, Jim Ratcliffe, the billionaire who kind of runs the football side of the club, and his various underlings, the chief executive and the director of football and so on, had all been publicly supportive of him all the way. No, this is our man. We've made our decision. We're going to stick with this guy. And of course, in the end, that all turns out to be nonsense.
Well, what's next then?
Well, what's happening now is they're appointing Darren Fletcher, who obviously was a player for United for many years, a well-regarded figure in the sense that people remember him fondly as a good player in a good Manchester United team. So he's like a guy who gets the club. It's not the first time United have done this in a crisis situation, turned, that is, to a figure that the fans know and can relate to and will have a kind of a loyalty or an affection towards from their playing days. It happened a few years ago with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who also came in as an interim manager. The unanticipated problem there was that Solskjaer started the job so well, winning, I think it was like his first 10 games or winning nearly all of his first 10 games, that they immediately said, "All right, we found our new guy," and gave him a big contract. And then from that point on, things were never quite as good for Solskjaer. I think with Fletcher, they'll obviously be wary of doing the same thing again. But if Darren Fletcher comes in and starts well and is doing well, then I don't see any reason why he couldn't ultimately become the manager. because, you know, they'll be happy just to have found someone who seems to be working and who the fans like. I don't think that is the plan at the moment, though. I think they're planning for him to be an interim figure. And as to who the actual manager is going to be, there aren't too many outstanding candidates. But in the Premier League, if you look at other Premier League managers, the one they do seem to be interested in is Oliver Glasner at Crystal Palace, who has done very well with them. But of course, it's a very different type of environment from Manchester United.
Well, Ken Early, we'll have to leave it there. Lots more on the cards for Manchester United after the break. We'll be going to Greenland.